Good afternoon. It's 6 minutes past 12 midday. We're on the Man in Line through till 1. Open line on 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Lots to talk about. Yesterday, Health and Social Care Minister David Ashford was on. We crammed as many calls as we could yesterday. And lots of comments. And if you'd like to follow up on anything you heard yesterday with David Ashford, then by all means, call, text or email. And the Name the New Ferry game rolls on. We'll tabulate them all and look at the end of the week tomorrow what our favourite name is. But we've literally had hundreds and hundreds of the darn things. Thank you, Frida. Dropped me a note from Ballinard Road in Douglas and said some ship names. Lady of the Isle, which basically means it's an incorporation of Lady of Man and Mona's Isle. So Lady of the Isle or Vision of the Isle from the words in Ellen Vanin, then rises like a vision. So Vision of the Isle or Lady of the Isle as well. Thank you for those two as well. A note in also from a concerned resident. We were talking about water leaks a few weeks ago. And I asked you to report any water leaks that have gone on for a long time. Well, just up from Broadway traffic lights on the right-hand side of the road, this has been leaking water for over 2 years, says this correspondent, and also on Murray's Road in Douglas, halfway down on the right-hand side, leaking for over 3 years. Both have been reported to the Manx Utilities. They're probably the Ustria before that, weren't they? On at least three occasions. Get the senior officers of the department to explain why these leaks take so long to repair. So just up from Broadway traffic lights on the right-hand side of the road for 2 years, and Murray's Road halfway down on the right-hand side for over 3 years. Crikey. That's thank you for those two notes in as well. Day 77, then, of no cases. It'll be day 78 if today at 4 o'clock the report says. So total number of tests, 8,560. Concluded tests, 8,546. There are 14 people waiting for a result and 4 people awaiting tests at the moment. The latest information from the government as far as that's concerned. Of course, we have lots and lots of... in fact, there have probably never been as many people from Guernsey on the Isle of Man as there are now. That's no help whatsoever to Ashley Tracy from BBC Radio Jersey, who joins us. Ash, good afternoon.
Hi, Andy. How are you?
Oh, well, we're fine. I bet you chose the wrong island, Ashley.
I've had one person say that to me. I've had 100, and I can't tell you how much it pains me that just 10 miles away, people from Guernsey can get on a flight and land in the Isle of Man in an hour and a half. I've had people from BBC Radio Guernsey messaging me saying, it's been lovely, and I'm like, oh, just go and find my mum and give her a hug. So yeah, I wish, wrong island, you're absolutely right.
When was the last time you were on the Isle of Man?
Last time I knit back was January. I'm getting my months mixed up. You know what it's like. There's been a pandemic on. Yeah, January. I knit back for a week short notice, and I'm so glad I did. But actually, last summer, I had a career break, and I was in the island for 6 weeks. And I'm so glad that I did, because I caught up with loads of people and really enjoyed the island, did the island walk and all that sort of stuff. So I'm hanging on to that, but desperate to get back. I really am.
What's the latest in Jersey? What's happening with COVID-19?
So the borders reopened on the 3rd of July. It's been a massive talking point. It was a really controversial decision as to whether or not to do it, whether or not to do it then. But we've had Lifeline flights throughout, and they put a testing system in place and thought, well, actually, now is the time to do it, to try and breathe some life into the tourism and hospitality industry. And actually, on the 3rd of July, amazing scenes of people like rushing out of the arrivals hall and having big emotional reunions, grandparents meeting grandchildren for the first time, that sort of thing. And so that's been the kind of status quo. And very slowly but surely, we've seen the arrivals and departures boards just busy. So Bristol, Manchester, Liverpool, London, Newcastle, direct flights to Mallorca, Madeira. Yeah, there's been loads of flights in and out. But of course, there is like a traffic light system in place for those who touch down here. So I'll run you through it. Basically, countries are categorised. If it's a red category, the USA, South Africa, Brazil, places like that, you get a test on arrival and then you've got to isolate for 14 days. If it's amber, Sweden, Spain, Mexico, that sort of thing, you land, you get a day zero test, you have to go and self-isolate, then you've got a day five test, you have to wait for that to be negative, and then you're allowed back out. You can go back to work, that sort of thing. And if destinations are categorised as green, then you've got to take a test on arrival at, say, the UK, Ireland, Canada, that sort of thing. And you're not required to self-isolate, which is actually, talk about, you know, the borders being reopened, being controversial. This is really controversial. People think here in Jersey, on the whole, I would say, that you should have to go home, sit in your living room, sit on your sofa until you get a text message from the government saying you're negative, or indeed if you're positive and then you follow different steps. But people are allowed to get off the plane, get off the boat, take their test. It's the swab test, the sort of up the nose PCR test, and then go about their merry way. On the whole, people are being really responsible. And we know that because there have been 18 cases detected from more than 21,000 passengers flying or sailing to the island. And none of them have kind of been passed on throughout the community. So people are, it seems, following the rules, although it's not law. So the average wait for a test back now is sort of 29 hours. So people, say, arriving from London today will have to have their nose swabbed and then go and be responsible, wait, you know, just over a day or so, and then they should hear back from the government whether they are good to go or whether they are going to have to then go into a 14-day sort of quarantine situation. So a big talking point, the borders still, even last weekend, you know, it's a changing situation. The chief or the deputy medical officer of health, who is sort of the chief virologist in the island, was saying, don't go to St Malo. We strongly recommend that you don't get on the boat to France because there's been a spike in cases in the Brittany region. So it changes all the time. But on the whole, I think people are starting to gain confidence about getting on and getting off the island as well.
So who's policing the red, amber and green situation? Who makes sure that, you know, the reds do as they're told and the ambers do as they're told?
There's a pretty strict track and trace system in place. And so you get regular phone calls and text messages like, are you well, if you're in the 5-day isolation? And then you kind of text back and say, yes, you know, you're not showing symptoms anymore or whatever. I should say there are currently 5 known active cases in the island. We did get down to 0, but then it's been kind of around that figure, 2, 5, 7, ever since the last sort of month or so. Currently, 5 people have, they're asymptomatic, and 2 people have got symptoms, but they're all kind of looking after themselves within the community.
What's the situation with what's the situation with masks?
With masks?
Yeah.
It's still strongly recommended that you wear them in public spaces. But when we first talked, and when that was, you know, the advice was first issued, a lot of people wore them. These days, not so much. It's mandatory on the buses. That's the only time you'll absolutely see everybody on the bus, and bus drivers have the right to refuse you your pass and, you know, your travel if you don't have a mask. You can buy them on the buses as well, but that's where it's absolutely mandatory, because they've upped the capacity to try and get people back on the buses and get the island moving in that sense. But I should say, just to go back to track and trace, it, as far as I know, and anecdotally, you know, you speak to people who have been tested and that sort of thing, there's nobody knocking on your door making sure that you are where you say you are. It seems to be stricter in Guernsey. People have kind of been grassed up, for want of a better phrase, and there have been some pretty hefty fines issued over there, £3,000, £6,000 for people who have been caught out in the pub when they should have been self-isolating.
You mentioned in the past that the Chief Minister of Jersey got some bad press. How is his performance these days?
We haven't heard a great deal from him, actually, in the last couple of weeks. Summer recess. And so I get the impression, I've heard that he's having a bit of a break. And I know that because tomorrow we've got a press conference. We haven't had one of those for a little while. They were Mondays and Fridays for a little bit. But since then, they've been a bit sort of hit and miss, to be honest. But we've got another tomorrow at midday. Senator John Lafondre won't be making an appearance. Instead, it's with the Deputy Chief Minister, Senator Lyndon Farnham, and the Health Minister, Deputy Richard Renouf. They're going to be talking about the next steps when it comes to COVID-19. We're expecting them to talk about kind of numbers at gatherings, because we've still got to keep our 1 metre distance here. No nightclubs at the moment, not everybody back at work. The likes of cricketers and footballers can get back out sort of training, but they've got to keep their distance. So we're assuming that the likes of, you know, caterers and people who are organising weddings will be able to say to the people that they work with, we can cater for more people, you can have more people at your wedding. But that is what we understand is going to be discussed tomorrow. We'll have to wait and see at 12 midday. But I think people have kind of made their peace with the fact that the Chief Minister wasn't necessarily the shining light leader that Gavin St-Pierre was, his counterpart in Guernsey. And they are just looking for information from the government of Jersey at the moment. And they have been quite good in terms of social media and regular sort of press briefings-ish. In terms of kind of getting information across, they choose to kind of speak to people that way rather than put the Chief Minister up for the likes of press conferences every week. Although one deputy backbencher, Deputy Kevin Pamplin, called the government out on their communication and just said it's not been good enough. I think that you should be able to tell the island more about the kind of science behind the decisions that you're making. We hear a lot about, you know, we're guided by the scientific experts. He asked for this to be done by the beginning of August. The government didn't get their, you know, what's in gear. And so he had to chase them and say, come on, you said that you would commit to better communication with the island. And we've heard this week that we'll find more about the science which informs the decisions like reopening the borders by the end of this week. So it's still not plain sailing when it comes to communication to islanders from the government.
You said that nightclubs aren't open. So just run us quickly, what is and isn't open and who's not gone back to work?
On the whole, from what I gather, big finance is obviously a big, you know, island based on finance, like the Isle of Man. You know, I think it's something like 80% of the population works in finance, something ridiculous like that. And so the big companies, as far as I know, still have a lot of people working from home. Slowly but surely, they are gradually having people back into the office. The advice at the minute, though, is still, if you can work from home, work from home. That's something else that we could hear in the press conference tomorrow. You know, you're OK to go back to work. You can go to the pub, but you've got to keep a metre away from other people. It's table service as well, so you can't go and lean on the bar and ask for a pint. You can get your hair done. You've got to wear a mask, though, when that's happening. So life is kind of back to normal, but with certain restrictions in place. It's certainly not the way that people are living their lives in the Isle of Man, but I think people have found a way to get into this sort of groove. So, we're expecting changes tomorrow, but they're not going to make a huge difference. Actually, I've heard on the grapevine that nightclubs won't be given the sort of green light tomorrow. That's going to be another step kind of down the road.
So you mentioned that people are allowed into Jersey. Is it mainly business people, or is it tourists, or is it people visiting relatives? Do they know what sort of people are coming to Jersey?
Yeah, it's interesting. I was speaking to the head of the Jersey Hospitality Association today on the breakfast show on BBC Radio Jersey. And he was saying that whilst it's great that the borders have been reopened and, you know, they're starting to see bookings, on the whole, people have been coming to the island to visit friends and family. People have been coming because they've got a connection already with the island. It's not your sort of average tourist. Because think about it, you land and you have a swab test. That's not very nice, for one. And then you've got to go and maybe stay in a hotel room. Well, you should. You know, again, I stress it's not the law, but the responsible thing to do is go and sit in your hotel room and wait until you get a text message from the government saying you're all right. Then you can go out and go to the beach and explore the castles and go to the heritage sites and that sort of thing. So from what I gather, in terms of, you know, your typical tourist, they're not visiting the island yet. But there's been some real big drives from Visit Jersey this week, actually encouraging people and kind of telling them about how good the testing system is. And it really does feel like it's a kind of feather in Jersey's cap that they've got that right. But actually, you know, from what I gather from Simon Saw, the head of the Hospitality Association, people are coming over to visit friends, visit family, spend time with people that they haven't seen before. And just to give you an example of, you know, what the borders reopening have meant to the industry, You know, he told me this morning that this time a year ago, they'd be on 90% occupancy for hotel beds. At the minute, they're looking at sort of 5 to 10. So, yeah, you know, Jersey's open for business, but whether or not people are coming to the island to make the most of, you know, a staycation in the British Isles remains to be seen.
And one part of living in Jersey is the Jersey Evening Post. Now, many people comment on the Isle of Man that our newspapers are kind of wafer thin at the moment. Is the Jersey Evening Post as fat and thick as it ever used to be?
No, definitely not. I think that's true to say of any local paper, isn't it? But they've definitely held their own, I would say, throughout the pandemic, still breaking original stories. It's slim. I haven't got one to hand today. I know I had one a couple of weeks ago, but they kind of focus on the big stories on the front pages, the first few pages, lots of kind of editorials and thought pieces. And then, you know, you're starting to see the adverts kind of creep back into the back of the paper so that, you know, businesses are kind of open for trade and trying to encourage customers that way. So, yeah, I mean, it's still a daily paper, I say that Monday to Saturday. So they do all right. But yeah, it's certainly not as beefy as what it used to be.
OK, well, everybody's going to face the east now. Ashley, we're going to pray that Jersey opens a corridor to the Isle of Man at some point. And when it does,
if you could get everyone to do some sort of like rain dance, sun dance, just on my behalf.
We'll be there with a big red carpet at Ronald's Way and a big microphone to talk to you.
That would be amazing. Honestly, I could cry at the prospect of there being an air bridge because, you know, it's so emotional, isn't it, not being able to see the people that you want to see. So if you could have a word with Howard Quayle about sorting those borders out, Andy, that
would be great. Well, maybe you could swim over because Howard Quayle's going to be in Guernsey, I think, next week. Gavin St Pierre's coming to the Isle of Man for a holiday and our Chief Minister's off to Guernsey.
I'll wave.
All right. From Jersey. Good to talk to you. Thanks, Ashley. Take care now.
Bye, Andy.
That's Ashley Tracy from BBC Radio Jersey's Breakfast Show and The View from the Channel Islands. Come back, Ash, quick.
Max Radio.
Don't miss the one and only Paradise and Gale summer sale with genuine savings on our already sizzling prices. Save big on our sumptuous sofas, stylish dining furniture, beautiful bedrooms and accessories. And because we're Paradise and Gale, most items are in stock and available for immediate free delivery and assembly. The Paradise and Gale summer sale, now on. Click paradiseandgale.com. Paradise and Gale, you'll love our furniture, you'll love our prices.
Take a tip from me. You can make a lot more of your garden when you visit Ramsey Garden Centre. They've everything you need to make your outdoors magical, from seasonal bedding and perennials to beautiful roses, shrubs and more. Light up your garden with their solar lighting and get inspired in their summer garden room, all at Ramsey Garden Centre. For all your garden needs, including expert help and advice, call 816 506 or pop into Ramsey Garden Centre, Albert Road, Ramsey. Open 7 days a week.
When appliances stop working, you need them repaired as soon as possible. But by who? Centigrade are the foremost domestic appliance repairer on the island and the official service partner to world-leading brands, including Hotpoint, Samsung and AEG. From washing machines to ovens, they've been repairing for over 40 years. We will always serve the community, following guidelines with minimal inconvenience to you. Call 676767 or visit 676767.im.
Enjoy a summer of man with Manx National Heritage. With multiple National Heritage sites to explore, from Castle Rushen and the Grove Museum of Victorian Life to Craigneish and the Laxey Wheel, there's so much to discover this summer. Support the island's culture and heritage with an annual pass. Passes purchased now are valid until October 2021, giving you access to all Manx National Heritage sites and more time to explore. Rediscover your island this summer. Visit manxnationalheritage.im.
Let's plan together for the better days to come. Whatever the legal situation, LVW Law has the solution, which starts with a free 30-minute consultation. Whether buying or selling your home, our conveyancing department are here to help. Call to request our free will questionnaire. If you need representation in court, whether that's for commercial, criminal or family, we're on your side and offer legal aid. LVW Law. Call 836 757 to book your free 30-minute consultation. Conditions apply.
The Nation Station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint. furnished by Magic Carpets.
25 past 12, lots of comments coming in, and also some from yesterday as well, and still some more ship names as well. The Russian Castle is one, and also just picking up on what Miss Rashford said yesterday, Howard Quayle, our Chief Minister, taking a trip to Guernsey. I do hope it's not being paid for officially. I'm sure it's not as well. I think the Chief Minister's going for a break in Guernsey, and the Guernsey Chief Minister's coming to the Isle of Man as well. It's Cycle to Work Day today. I don't know whether if you're at work, whether you cycled today. Many people got up this morning ready for work, but how did you get to the office today, or the shop, or the factory? How did you get to work? Have you ever really considered your options? This whole notion of cycling to work, walking to work, is something that's really coming to the fore now. And we'll come to the bridges that are being reinstated for walking and cycling, it looks like as well. I don't think they're going to be load-bearing, but they're replacing three bridges and reinstating three bridges around the north and west of the Isle of Man. But have you considered your option? Active travel, it's called. Today isn't just any normal Thursday. It's Cycle to Work Day. Alex Watton is in the saddle.
The Isle of Man undoubtedly attracts some really keen cyclists, and some very successful ones too.
Cavendish has made his way through! Oh, he's done it! Cavendish has done it! He's going to be the world champion! Oh, it's yes! Mark Cavendish is the world champion!
Any excuse to revisit that moment, but today on Cycle to Work Day, we're asking how feasible is it to use our two-wheeled friends on the morning commute? For many, the journey is simply too far to consider it, but for others, it's much more doable. But are you willing? Some of you got in touch on social media.
There's nothing more I'd love to do than ride to work. If only the flattened bike stand had been rebuilt. At present, it's lying as a flat pack at the back of the hospital and has been for some months now. There's nowhere safe and secure at all at the hospital presently, and with the sheer numbers of us trying to ride in, most lampposts are taken up.
Maybe if they had used the area where they fill up the TT bikes and that area to then filter in for the buses from there, and then drawn a white line down the middle on the wide pavement, had one side for bikes, one for pedestrians, that would have been a better idea, and not the bottlenecking on the road like they have. Once again, horrendous and unsafe decision-making done without any consultation with us, the public, or even the police.
Well, back in May, bike shops on the island reported a surge in sales during lockdown, but Managing Director at Cycle 360, Mark Hosthouse, says they're predominantly being used for recreation.
There's a massive market and potential for bikes and e-bikes to be used as a mode of transport, whether to get to work, to and from work, to get to the shops, to visit family and friends. And that's something that needs to be really looked in by a government strategy plan as how to best develop our roads and our highways to encourage people to commute into work. But as we see it, as a retailer, we still see a very limited amount of people purchasing bicycles for that commute to work. So that's, again, another considerable market to explore. But I think at the moment, it's definitely more recreational based rather than kind of commute or as a form of transport.
Encouraging people to commute to work on their bikes, though, is something on the government's agenda, here and further afield. In the last week, the UK Prime Minister announced a scheme offering £50 bike repair vouchers to launch in England as part of plans to boost cycling and walking. Boris Johnson, known back in the day, of course, for London's Boris Bikes, also announced that access to bikes will be available on the NHS as part of the strategy. Closer to home, though, a phrase you'll probably be familiar with is active travel. It was a strategy approved by Timwald in 2018, so around 2 years later, how's it going? I spoke to Infrastructure Minister Tim Baker, who told me about the key routes being considered by the department as areas of focus.
What we've got with these routes into Douglas is a more strategic approach of identifying routes from end to end, taking people from where they live into where they work. And obviously we've got a route in from the south side, a route in from the north side. We've obviously got the Heritage Trail coming in from Peel, and we've recently put in the crossing at the Quarter Bridge, which has made quite a big difference. So we're on a journey, and we need to give people these choices because not only are there climate change benefits, but there's also benefits in terms of people's health if they're travelling more actively. And we saw during the lockdown that people did choose to both become more active and to travel in these ways.
We did see a surge, at least from bike shops, reportedly, that they were selling more bikes. But anecdotally, that's recreationally. I mean, how do you get the mindset from people adding on the idea of commuting via a bike, not just going for a cycle at the weekend?
Yeah, I think there's a number of dimensions to that. I think some of them are very practical. So, you know, can you change? Can you shower? Can you store your bike safely? And most importantly, can you travel from A to B in a reasonable time frame, but also feel safe in doing that? And I think the whole active travel program has to address all of those things. So, for example, putting the bike shelters in the schools where it's gone in, you know, that starts to put the infrastructure in. And it's only really when you've got all those things in place that you're really going to get the benefits. But over time, it will start to build. And I think you get a critical mass. It becomes acceptable to travel in that way, as opposed to taking a car or any other form of transport.
The department has been working with consultant Sustrans to develop the strategy island-wide. And just before I go, one more time.
Cavendish has made his way through! Oh, he's done it! Cavendish has done it! He's going to be the world champion! Oh, it's yes! Mark Cavendish is the world champion!
So, did you cycle to work today? Did you cycle anywhere today? Is active travel something that you've taken to? Maybe you are a long-time cyclist or a recent convert. Maybe the pandemic, the lockdown, has got you into more active travel. Of course, we're all urged to get fitter and get our immune systems functioning a lot better to ward off any diseases. So any thoughts on that? Text, email or call. Message in just to say the lady didn't catch what were the cases in Jersey. Well, they have 7 known cases at the moment of COVID-19 in Jersey. 2 are symptomatic and 5 are asymptomatic. That's the situation at the moment. So they have 7 cases in Jersey. And I don't know what you thought. Actually, Tracy was talking about the situation they have with red, amber and green people flying into Jersey. And gradually that arrivals board filling up at Jersey Airport. Any thoughts on that? At some point, and again, all the ministers have come on the Man in Line, have said, you know, at some point we are going to get cases on the Isle of Man, and we do have to open the island up, and we do have to open the economy up. And one person who will know all about that is Lawrence Skelly, who is our Enterprise Minister. Lawrence Skelly will be on the Man in Line next Tuesday. Now, he's been on a couple of times on the Man in Line and talked about finding new areas to create new businesses on the Isle of Man and to find new industries, as it were. So we'll find out exactly where the Enterprise Department is with that next Tuesday on The Man in Line on Manx Radio. Talking about those bridges that they're putting together, these are the bridges that they're replacing at Glenwell and Glenmore and across the A1 at Ballalice in St John's. If you head to Peel or from Peel to Douglas, the A1 at Ballalice, they're putting these bridges there. They're replacement bridges they're actually replacing what used to be a bridge there years and years ago. The surface of the trail will be upgraded, making it available all year round and stimulating health benefits by encouraging people to become active travellers on a regular basis. So they're putting these back. Now, these aren't, as it were, proper bridges. They're not load-bearing bridges because some of those are on the old steam railway line, and they used to carry steam locomotives. Well, these won't, so they could never put the railway line back because they're not load-bearing bridges. They're just bridges that will enable people. At the moment, if you're walking along the Heritage Trail, you have to leg it down the bridge and back up the other side. This will stop that. You'll just be able to troll straight across on a bike or walking or running. So that's Glenwell and Glenmore and across the A1 at Ballalice. And you can find that story at manxradio.com. The new ship name, I say, Pride of Mona, says Jim in Port Erin. Today, says G, might be cycle to work day. How about having a make the road safe day? Tree branches and undergrowth are growing down to the edge of the road just above Governor's Bridge, says that correspondent as well. Malcolm said, sorry, I didn't appreciate you. You didn't have more time for me yesterday to make the point. This is the gentleman who was making the point about the woman who came to the Isle of Man illegally and had been here for nearly 20 days before she was found out. And he just wonders how many more people have slipped through the net. That was, I think, David... I can't remember how David Ashford said they found the woman, but she'd, I think, either filled the forms out, whether it's deliberately or accidentally, wrongly, and came to the Isle of Man unauthorised as well. If the railway bridges, John says, if the railway bridges are to be reinstated, we would hope that provision will be made to allow future generations to reconnect the rail system. Well, not so, John. They've made the decision that they're putting the bridges back, but not load-bearing enough for locomotives and carriages. But I suppose if you want the railways back, it's a start. The bridges will be back in those three locations. Text, email or call. Just a quick note to say, by the way, if you're looking for some fresh Manx produce, it's Thursday, which means Isle of Man Farmers Markets are at the Church Hall in St John's, open till 3 today, for Manx fruit, veg, pies, cakes, bread, pickles, honey, beeswax products, crafts and arts. St John's every Thursday. And they're also going to be tomorrow, as it's the first Friday of the month, at Village Walk in Onchan from 11 till 4, and Saturday at the Courthouse in Ramsey from 10 till 4. So Isle of Man Farmers Markets today, St John's Church Hall tomorrow, Onchan Village Walk, and Saturday at the Courthouse in Ramsey. Now, tied in with active travel, and if you were losing, not making less pollution, is the climate change subject on the Isle of Man. You thought it had gone away? Well, it's still around. Members of the climate change team are going to be available at a drop-in session at Henry Bloom Noble Library in Douglas on now till 6:45. Douglas North MHK, Ralph Peake's one of the team. There was a similar event in the north of the island yesterday.
Yes, it was great. So we opened up at midday at the Ramsey Town Hall, and we had a steady flow of people who were really interested. That's the great thing. We had some really people who are knowledgeable about the subject and wanted to learn more about that and how they can actually get engaged, because we have got a great... Citizens Forum coming up, so we'll be compiling 36 members of the public on that to join that, and that will really be, I think, a great way we can engage with the public, listen to what they've got to say, and really get on with some action.
You've had several consultations on this already. We've got Professor Curran's report. Why another consultation? Isn't it time for action now rather than talking yet again?
It is, Tim. You're absolutely right. It'd be great to see some action straight away. This consultation is around the Climate Change Bill, which is the legislation for this, which will back up the actions. But yes, I agree with you, Tim. Time is now for action. We have had a bit of a hiccup, obviously, with the COVID has put us back.
Well, I was going to ask you about that, because we were in uncertain times before, but now budgets are very, very tight. Is that going to impact on any potential plans that you have, or do the two go hand in hand?
Well, actually, Tim, what I've seen firsthand and people have approached me and told me is they can actually now understand the benefits that we can actually enjoy from making our air quality cleaner, you know, having less transport on the road. All these things actually build up to a healthier, happier, greener future.
Is that because of the quiet of the lockdown period?
Absolutely. So people realise now that they can change, and it wasn't that hard. I know it's for a difficult subject, but you know what we can see are some benefits out of that. So we really can get to a place where we can have energy security here in the Isle of Man with renewable energy from our abundant natural resources, and really then have efficient homes that we can live in. Let's get the building controls sorted out so homes are built without the need for central heating, fossil fuel boilers, and actually let's get on with it right now. That would be the great thing to do. So this public engagement, I urge people, pop down today to the Henry Bloom Noble Library at Douglas. That's Thursday today, and you know, we're there from midday till 6:45 this evening.
Well, if you can pop down, it'd be interesting to see. Maybe that Citizens Forum will come to something. 36 members is a big Citizens Forum. That was Ralph Peake, MHK of Douglas North. That's Henry Bloom Noble Library in Douglas till 6:45 today. Members of the climate change team will be there for a drop-in session. Nip in, find out, see what they're going to do. More and more they talk about, and do you remember earlier on this week, the planning regulations regarding things like electric plug-in points, solar panels. A lot of them were absolutely withdrawn. If you're not in a conservation area, you can just do it. you know, with certain parameters. You can't stick them upright by the pavement, but you can do lots of things now that you couldn't, that you needed planning permission for. So it seems like that whole continuum is moving along for climate change and certainly active travel as well. We certainly live in a different world. A quick mention, by the way, tomorrow, if you're around Arbury Church tomorrow at 7:30 tomorrow, Meadowside Choral Society have got a summer concert. Tomorrow, Friday 7th at Arbury Church at 7:30, a concert of well-known pieces from the choir and soloists doing their stuff. It'll be a great night. 7:30 admission, absolutely free at Arbury Church. You can text, email, or you can give us a call on Manx Radio. And a lady just mentioned and just said, you keep on saying that the disease is raging around the world. You said it yesterday to Mr. Ashford. Where is the disease? Where is COVID-19 raging? Well, 829 people died in Mexico yesterday, and there were 6,139 new cases of COVID-19 in Mexico. In fact, there are 11 countries in the world where there's more than 1,000 new cases yesterday. Kazakhstan, Ukraine, Romania, Bolivia, Indonesia. There were 2,500 new cases in Iran, 3,000 cases in Bangladesh, 3,500 in the Philippines, 4,500 in India, 5,000 in Russia, and 6,139 in Mexico. 829 died in Mexico yesterday, 116 in Russia yesterday. So the disease is still going. Mr. Ashford was at great pains yesterday to point out that the Spanish flu came in four waves, and the second was the worst. It's really tempting to be complacent about where we are, because we have no cases. We haven't had a case for 77 days. It would be an anomaly if we did have a case. But we do have to remain vigilant, don't we? Adam's with us now. Hello, Adam.
Hi, Randy.
What's on your mind, Adam?
I just wanted to raise the point about the Sea Cat going to Liverpool and back every day, and the amount of money it must be costing the taxpayer, because the steam pack is now government-owned, isn't it? And
it's only Friday to Monday, but I take your point. I just wonder how many people are going on the Sea Cat.
Yeah, I don't think there can be anyone in there. And when the Bermacree is going to Heaton twice a day as well, you just don't need it, do you? And it must cost at least, I mean, you know, they say it costs £16,000 in fuel to send the Sea Cat to Liverpool and back. And with nobody on it, it's just a waste of time, isn't it? And they're paying out peanuts to people who were who've been furloughed.
Yeah. I think if we put the Ben McCree to one side, because obviously we need all the freight on the Ben McCree, so I think the freight pays for the Ben McCree, I think, doesn't it? The amount of stuff. So if we call the Ben McCree zero cost, and I've heard of all sorts of figures about what it costs, obviously, because the Ben McCree burns low grade marine diesel oil, doesn't she? And the Mananan is high grade stuff.
Yeah. Well, it just must be costing a fortune, and I just think it's such a waste of money when it could be going on.
So do you think then that we shouldn't be running Mananan?
Yeah, I do. I think they shouldn't be running Mananan. I think it's an awful waste of money.
Well, it's a lot of money, as you say. Well, let's work that out then. If it's one journey per day, and let's just say it is 12,000, it's running four a week. That's £48,000 in fuel for Mananan there and back, getting nothing like that in there. So why do you think they're running Mananan? What's it for? Is it just for show, or is it just to show that we are open if people need to come onto the island?
I've got no idea, but they could. I mean, you know, the money it costs to send it there and back in one day would fund two university students.
Interesting. Well, that's something we'll try and get. Obviously, they've just announced that they're buying a brand new ship to start in 2023. Thank you, Adam. That's an interesting point. And if you'd like to bring that up, if you have any comments on whether you think the steam packet should be running Mananan. At the moment, people can leave the Isle of Man on Mananan, going on the fast craft to Liverpool, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Monday. But it costs an awful lot of money. It's 12:45. You're on the Manning line on Manx Radio. So what's on your mind? Manx
Radio. With so much uncertainty, making travel arrangements has been difficult recently. The Isle of Man Steam Packet Company understand this and have introduced the Book with Confidence commitment to provide greater flexibility and peace of mind. Our Book with Confidence commitment means amendment fees will be waived if your plans have to change due to COVID-19 government-imposed travel restrictions. We'll even give you a full refund should your booking with us be cancelled. Visit steam-packet.com for details and full terms and conditions.
Calling all retailers. With an all-island reach up to 6 days a week, you should be using Isle of Man Post Office as your local delivery partner. We've adapted to offer local businesses a new cost-effective local delivery service, no matter the size of your offering. With us, you won't need to worry about your insurance, reliability, or safety of your products. To discuss your requirements and bespoke pricing, call 698-444 today or email sales@iompost.com. Isle of Man Post Office, your trusted business partner.
Oh, not again.
Oh, that Jack from next door really needs to improve his left foot.
Oh, don't worry. A storm did the damage last time, and it was easy and cheap to get a greenhouse pane from Manx Glass and Glazing.
Manx Glass and Glazing don't just do the big jobs. Visit them on Snugborough Trading Estate for all your glazing repairs and supplies. From glass tabletops and picture frame glass to greenhouse glazing, along with good old-fashioned customer service and product knowledge.
Manx Glass and Glazing. You're smashing.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Make your leisure time complete with Roberts Leisure, the island's most experienced hot tub and sauna retailer. Order your own Canadian-built Arctic Spas hot tub that uses natural sea salt to keep your water clean, and relax whilst the Spa Voice system looks after the water for you all year round. Or enjoy a superb Swedish sauna with infrared and steam baths available too. Your new leisure experience starts with Roberts Leisure. Visit our Douglas showroom in Whitehoe Industrial Estate or visit Arctic Spas IOM on Facebook.
Corkill Removals and Storage today. Loads big and small day after day. We'll help you move, we'll help you pack. With a local or global, we've got the knack. So give us a cheer. Yay! Your movers are here. They do it right.
As well as moving locally, nationally or internationally, we have storage solutions from as little as £12 per week. Call
675-495. We'll get your load delivered on time. You can be sure we'll get the job done. Click corkillremovals.com.
As the summer holidays continue, this weekend the Nation Station once again becomes the Staycation Station. We're giving you the chance to win a three-night stay in the beautiful Milne Town Apartments. The prize includes on-site parking, internet access and a delicious afternoon tea. To be in with the chance of winning, just listen out all day Saturday and Sunday to play our winning weekend wordplay. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday morning's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So for your chance to head to Milne Town, join us right across the weekend here on Manx Radio, the Staycation Station.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint, furnished by Magic Carpets.
New ship name, says Jim in Port Erin, the Pride of Mona. That's another one to go on the list as well. Barul, says somebody else as well. I wouldn't feel safe riding a bike on the roads at all these days. The roads aren't very good and some drivers... Well, I think I'd want the same insurance as a motorbike before considering it. Too scary for me, says Crystal. I'm on a journey, Mr. Baker. By car, unless you ban them, I'm not changing. I like the warmth, the comfort, my own choice of music and my own choice of passenger with me as well. Well, it may be a flippant point, but if people like warmth and comfort, and particularly the last thing at night, if they want... How do you do this? How do you square this particular circle? I'm not saying it can't be squared, but how do you do it? NC, could somebody from government come on and explain how the right-to-work incentive works? Where can you get a new push bike through the company that you work for? I'm sure your company can find that out for you. I wouldn't feel safe riding a bike on the roads at all now. So the roads are bad. And let me see. The new boat name, as the wind is critical, could be Snuff the Wind, says Bri. And I think now, Doreen in Onken, this is going near to the top of the list. I think the new ship should be Terry Kringle. The Terry Kringle. Now that would resonate, wouldn't it? The Terry Kringle is now departing Heysham. Oh, wonderful. Hopefully it'll be in commission for a long time before it retires. We'll put that there, the new Isle of Man steam packet ship, the Terry Kringle. Is there a discount available from government for electric cars and vans? Says this, Gem of Mananan for the new boat, says Pete B. And if we're having a make something better day, says Gary in Ramsey, I'd like to make it safer for the roads around Ramsey. And what I'm getting is speeders in a 30 zone. The irresponsible thing to do will be to drop it to 20 mile an hour in our towns. The Gem of Vannin, or Gem of Ellen Vannin, is another one. And I don't think we should be wasting money on building the bridges. You can spend as much money as you want, but you can't get people to walk and cycle just by putting up the bridges. Dodgy. Tim Baker was on the news yesterday, and he was asked about this, and just over a million pounds they're spending on putting these three, what essentially are footbridges, up. Footbridges, so if you know people can walk across them and cycle, but nothing else will be able to go across them. And Tim Baker basically just said, get on with it. We just need to get on. If we're going to encourage people to do active travel, this is something that we have to do. If the cost is in excess of £1 million to reinstate the railway bridges, surely it will make sense to future-proof and incorporate the facility for future rail rather than the next generation be burdened with the cost of more replacements. I think it would cost an awful lot more than £1 million for three bridges that will be load-bearing, certainly for locomotives and carriages. Your last caller wants the money saved spent on free university. Absolutely not, says this correspondent. Guernsey have moved isolation to 7 days, and we should do the same here, says Pat. Anjan Jones says the ship should be the Man in Vain, dear Isle of Man. How do you get more solar stuff on the Isle of Man? Lots of people are selling solar stuff. Man in Vain, dear Isle of Man, Angie and Jean. And also the Manxman, says one correspondent, a saucy Sue. I don't think so as well. Oh, dear me. Somebody also said the guy who wanted to stop the boats going to Liverpool. Why? We're allowing people to leave the Isle of Man. So this is a citizen's right. If this is a publicly owned ferry company, it's owned by you and me, the people of the Isle of Man. So why on earth shouldn't we allow people to leave the Isle of Man? And why shouldn't we? We have a fast craft. Put the fast craft on. GPs are going to be told to stop prescribing painkillers like paracetamol and aspirin for people with chronic pain conditions, as they do more harm than good. Dr. John Snelling, our Dr. John, talks about paracetamol, aspirin and ibuprofen.
Things like acupuncture, massage, things like heat treatment, physiotherapy, which is about mobilising and stretching joints, simple things like regular exercise. So many of my patients come in to me and say, Doctor, I'm putting on weight because I can't exercise because my knee hurts. The reality is that for most people with chronic joint problems or whatever, a little short exercise period every day, gradually building up over a period of time, is going to be much better for you in lots of ways than taking regular painkillers.
The problem for some people, I guess, though, is that they have been prescribed these by their doctor and they feel that they should take them because they've been told to. If someone is in that position, they think they have been on these sort of drugs that you've been talking about long term, are there any effects for suddenly stopping that medication?
Yeah, I mean, you probably shouldn't just stop them because you probably will feel unwell and certainly your pain will rebound initially, immediately, because your brain has got dulled by having to use this medicine regularly. So go and talk to your doctor. Doctors are very aware of this guidance, and certainly here on the island, the statistics say that we as GPs probably prescribe slightly more of the codeine-based painkillers than the average in the UK. So there is a particular project on at the moment to try to reduce that class of drugs, particularly here on the island. So your doctors will know about this, and this NICE guideline will have emphasised the importance of looking at it, and they'll be quite happy to talk to you about alternatives. But don't worry, because your doctor will also be aware that you can't just stop it and that some people do need painkillers. And what I, for example, generally say to my patients is, with a drug like cocodamol or one of the stronger of the ibuprofen-like drugs, keep them in your cupboard, but make sure that they are there for emergencies. They are there as a backup if you know that you're going to do a particularly unusual form of exercise or you've got a particularly bad weekend, then by all means take them. Just don't get used to taking them every single day because your body will get used to them.
Well, we're just about out of time, but if you want to add anything to that, then get in touch. Email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone on 682631. Paracetamol, ibuprofen and aspirin, and the words of Dr. John on Manx Radio. A message in that said, "Hi Andy, we've got solar for our hot water and our latest gas bill is £19. £19. Solar works," says this correspondent. Thanks to our studio producer today, Ben Harthy. Thanks to Ashley Tracy in Jersey. Late lunch is on the way. Christy and Sarah, Alex in the afternoon. Update at 5:30. The Gravel Pit Lagoon. No, it's not a horror tale. It's Story of the Point of Air with Aaron Ibanez at 6 o'clock and Chris Kinley at 6:30 with Greatest Hits. That's it. Back tomorrow. W-I-N-T.